You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hi, this is Dr. Joy. In a world that sometimes feels uncertain, where communities can be disconnected, there are beacons of hope in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network. They believe that the people living all around you are your best bet at creating meaningful social bonds and preparing you for the next big weather event. Whether it's lending a helping hand to a neighbor in need or standing together in times of natural disaster, Neighbor to Neighbor empowers you to grow your community. Visit caneighbors.com to learn how you can help build a more connected community. Neighbor to neighbor. It takes a neighborhood.
Welcome back to Journeyman. Today we are talking NBA draft drama, real GOATs versus personal GOATs, a possible intervention for KD's strange Twitter addiction, and so much more. Let's get it.
Who are these guys?
It's my theme music. Every good hero should have some.
This is an institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen. If you can't control it, how can you teach? Discipline is not the enemy of enthusiasm.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Journeyman, brought to you by the good folks at the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. I'm your host, Andrew Hawkins, seven-year NFL vet, 19-year holder of a Yahoo.com email, and a two-time pedestrian victim of being hit by a car. I am joined by my girl, Sid Colson, Las Vegas Aces. I would say you're the star of the team. I don't know if that's how you would categorize yourself, Sid, but for me, that's who I come to see. Sid, how you doing today?
Thank you. How you doing?
I'm okay.
You were hit by a car twice?
Twice, bro. Before the age of 12. I got hit by a car twice.
What was going on in Cleveland?
I was like a curious kid. I feel like you were this kind of kid too, and you were doing stuff you wasn't supposed to be doing. And so the cars was like zooming by, and then we're crossing the street. And I'm like, I wonder what happens if I just stick my hand out. And so I stuck my hand out and got hit by my arm. So much bad stuff could have happened. But that was the first time when I was 5. The second time I was 11. And my black mama told me to stay at the house. And I'm like, I want to ride my bike, fam. And so I jumped on my bike and like was riding around the corner. And it was like a blind intersection where you can't see what's coming. So I zoom into the street on my bike, and the car hits my back wheel, and I go airborne. I'm talking about I fly at least 15 to 20 feet, right, in the air doing flips. I land. The lady gets out the car. She's like, oh, my God, are you okay? It was right in front of this girl in our neighborhood, Shannon Timmons. She was on her porch, and she just started bust out laughing. And so I'm like, no, lady, I'm fine. It's all right. Don't worry about it. She's like, let me take you to the hospital. I'm like, no, I'm fine. I just got to go home. Because I was so scared to get a whooping for leaving the house that it did not matter if I got hit by a car. And that's how I knew the power of black mothers in America, that it could heal all things. Just the threat, Sid. So that's my getting hit by a car story.
What? Why do you remember the girl's name? Did you have a crush on her?
She was a really good basketball player. She would just give me buckets. We would hoop every single day. And I couldn't beat Shannon until I was like 17. She ended up going to college to play basketball. But, you know, she lived down the street. We just hoop all day. That's what we did when we was young.
Oh, what is this story? That you getting hit in the back, it reminded me of that scene in Superbad where he gets hit by the car. Yes. And it's just kind of like
it was very much the same way. I'm just trying to give you a little glimpse of why I am the way I am. You know what I'm saying? I want you to get a real feel for why this person is this person, right? Yeah. Things like that, Sid. So where are you at in the world right now, Sid?
I'm in Vegas.
You're in Vegas. Oh, God, that's a perfect. That's a perfect jumping off point, because I seen a tweet this week, and I was like, new information to me from Asia Wilson, our home girl. You guys didn't get to go to the White House when you won the championship?
No, we haven't gone yet. Like, we didn't get – I think we just recently got the invite. But we were like, dang, college team's going. We won last season. We would have thought, you know, we would have already had our visit, Yeah, and we were annoyed because we're like, oh, well, we should have like the whole experience, but they're like lumping it into our trip when we go to DC.
Ah.
I already went to college, so like I'm not pressed about it. Like I don't have to. Because
championships ain't nothing new to you, so you ain't even tripping off that. I done been there, done that. I know where the bathrooms is.
Well, I went when Obama was there, so I'm not tripping on going when nobody else is there. But
it's like that. Yeah, let's get political, Sid. I'm with you.
But for first timers, they should have a whole experience. But you know, it is what it is.
Are you allowed to go back to the White House? I feel like you would have done something the first time where they probably put you on some kind of like probationary list or something.
That's how you feel?
That is a little how I feel. Did you do something after when you went to visit the White House when you won the national championship in college? But this before you felt like, you know, you can get away with this kind of stuff that you, the shenanigans that you pull, or
social media wasn't like that big then, okay. So I wasn't really.
You was behaving.
People weren't really hip to me being nuts.
Yeah. Okay. Much. So now that we know that you're a lunatic and you get to go to the White House, do you have something planned? Because I feel like I know you enough to know there's got to be something brewing in your mind to be like, yo, I'm not finna let this moment just pass me by without doing something.
I'm gonna do a lot. Okay. I don't know what it is though. Yeah. I don't have it planned, but Asia has some stuff planned already that she told me, and the TikToks that she wants to do are crazy.
I can't wait. I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, do you guys even want to go to the White House? Be honest. Is there a place you'd rather go? Like, because I feel like the White House is a little played out, and maybe this is spoken as someone who hasn't even come close to ever winning a championship, so maybe that has a lot to do with it. Is it? You ain't got to laugh so hard. That wasn't even that funny. I done said way funnier stuff. For you to be uncontrollably not being able to breathe.
Because it's the way you said it.
I
like,
feel away.
How are you over it and you haven't been? You're like, it's played out, but you
haven't. But I never experienced it. Okay, I get it from that perspective. But I feel like if I did win a championship, like I wouldn't be clamoring to go to the White House. I would want to be like, I'd rather get like a paid trip for, you know, 80 of my teammates to go to like Carnival in Jamaica or something, or like, you know, Barbados. Let's go to Barbados and Carnival with Rihanna. Let Rihanna host us at Carnival in Barbados and then line that up with the Bidens in the White House. It is not even close who I'm picking.
You're right. You're not wrong. I would much prefer to go see, you know what? Okay. I would like to go see Tim's. I would like to go see Tim's perform overseas. Like,
there you go. A guest of Tim's. That would be perfect.
Or I'm trying to go see Adele.
Yes. She was in Vegas, wasn't she?
She's in Vegas.
And you would rather just go to Adele in Vegas and go to the White. That's what I'm saying. So that tells me that there's a system here that is broken and needs to be revamped. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, half the team don't even go anymore. They're like, yeah, nah, we cool.
Yeah, I'm good on it.
You know what I'm saying? So maybe when you win a championship as a team, you guys should all vote for the thing that you want to do, the life-changing experience you actually care about, and then go get to do that.
Okay, I'm going to tell the owners and like everybody that you said that, and then I'll let you know what they say.
Yes, please do. Please do. Did you get to see any of you weren't on our show last week, and we talked about the Nuggets championship parade. Did you get to see any of the parade?
Only a little bit. Like, I saw clips like on social media.
Yeah. Well, I had to ask you because, again, I was on here with Amin, and Amin don't know nothing about no parade, no championship parade. We both in here just looking at it all on Twitter. So what is it like when you win a championship, like, and you go through that parade? Like, is it as fun as it looks? Because, you know, the Joker was like, oh, I don't want to do this. I got others. I want to go see my horses. But then you see the clip from the parade, and it looked like he was having the time of his life. Like, there was not a place he'd rather. It was the happiest we've ever seen him on any video in his entire career. Is it really that fun?
No, it was. It was really fun. Like, they had given us like the route that we were gonna take on the strip, and it was like pretty short on the bus. So we were thinking like, oh, this is about to be some BS. You know how they do WNBA teams, like this parade not about to be nothing.
Mm.
And I tell you, when we got there, like we arrived on a bus together anyways from like the apartments where we stay.
Uh-huh.
And when we were driving up to the like actual like double decker buses that we were gonna be on, there were people for like miles, and we were like, "Oh damn! Like this is really about to be
a parade."
You know, so people have been drinking,
yeah,
cigars. Like it really was lit. Like it was way more than we were expecting. I think because our expectation was pretty low, It surpassed it by so much. But even if our expectations have been a little higher, like, it was still, it was incredible. It really was incredible.
That sounds incredible. Like, the thing about a championship parade, this is where I'm envious. It's not, that's why I don't care to go to the White House. The parade is what I'm jealous of, because there's not a lot of opportunities for athletes to be publicly inebriated, drunk, you know, depending on what state you in, you could probably have a little bit of the Mary J, you know, like you could act a fool and everybody loves it. Like, it does not matter. Tom Brady, who is like, if he ran for president, he would probably win. He was hammered, throwing the trophy over the bay in Tampa. Like, he didn't care. It's like, I envy that. And I also want to tell athletes that when you guys win it again this year, you got to make sure you tell the young players to take advantage of that, even if they're not drinkers. I don't condone any, like, you know, peer pressure, but that is a rare instance. Like, you can rope it in a better way of saying it than I am. Like, just enjoy yourself is a good way to say it. But I'm just saying, that is the part that I envy the most.
Kids, when y'all win, you need to do drugs. You need to have a good time.
Yeah. That is.
You don't want to remember this night. Let the video show you what you did.
Yeah, find out the next day. Let us tell you what happened. You know what I'm saying? J.R. Smith took his shirt off for 7 days.
I'm going to take my shirt off, too, because I don't really have a chest anyway, so I feel like I can get away with
it. Go ahead. You better be tatted the same way. Otherwise, I'm not retweeting it. I'm telling you that right now. Sid, did you watch the NBA draft?
No, man. We had a...
Oh, you had a game?
Yeah.
You think Wimby's going to be any good?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm curious to see what happens with his body. I didn't watch enough of... What was the guy's name who was just drafted last year to OKC? He went to Gonzaga. Chet.
Oh, Chet Holmgren. Yep, Holmgren. Yep.
I didn't watch enough of their season to see how he did, but like, his frame reminds me of his, and I feel like they're similar height, right? But I don't know. I feel like the dude is skilled. I haven't seen like a ton of like clips or game footage, so I don't know his game for real. But just at his size, what I've seen him do, I'm just like,
yeah, it seems like it is going to work out. Like, there's so much hype around him. They say he's the most hyped prospect since LeBron James, which is crazy because this is the 20th year anniversary of that draft, and I think LeBron is the only player still playing. Think about that. Think about LeBron's draft and everyone getting drafted. At least if you're like me, everyone that got drafted behind LeBron was like, I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them I should have been there, and none of them did. Not a single one of them actually was come anywhere near close to the hype that they gave LeBron. I hope that's the same history we say about Wimby.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would love for us to be able to witness like another generational type player, you know, because the way people talk about LeBron and like, you know, like people just hate to hate instead of just appreciate what you're witnessing. Like, I want to see somebody like that.
But I don't think people will appreciate Wimby. This is my hot take on Wembanyama. I don't think people will appreciate his greatness if he's really great. I think it'll be roped in he's cheating because he's really tall, right? It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like when I go play with my son and his friends in basketball and I lower the hoop, I am Wembanyama. And that I get my buckets off the same way.
You should beat them.
It's like no one respects it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, not that nobody will respect his game because he moves and you know the athleticism that he has at that size, and if he's able to be durable and he's able to put on weight the way that you're saying, like, it's going to be really fascinating to watch. But there is such an advantage because he's 8 feet tall. Like, he has a wingspan of 110 feet. Like, it's like, yeah, no duh, like, you should be able to do this. I don't think we're going to marvel like, oh, he's such a great player, he's so skilled, he's so all these things. And I think hopefully he has a personality like the Joker, because he's going to have to not care about what people say. that's a reality.
That's accurate, though. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the physicality is going to be off the jump. I think you're going to see, because probably somebody like him, they're not going to have him play in summer league. So you're not going to see him until
the season. But so LeBron, when he came in, it was like questions. He was obviously super athletic. He was super skilled. They said he was the next Michael Jordan. But people are like, oh, you have to prove that. Like, when they look at Wembanyama, like, everybody who's really tall or really big in all of sports, it's like, oh, you should be this good. And I think that's something he's going to have to contend with. But we'll talk more about the NBA draft in just a minute. Drop the bass, DJ. So you heard it here. Make sure we share this out on social. Sydney doesn't think Wembanyama is going to be successful in the NBA. But the second pick of the NBA draft. What, Sid?
What? When did I say that?
You have to come on. You're in sports media now. You can't be scared of the takes. You have not given us anything spicy, and so if you don't, we're gonna create it because we gotta get these numbers up. Do you not know how this works?
Okay, fine. Say it.
All right, Wembanyama bust from Sidney Colson. The number two overall pick in the NBA draft was Brandon Miller, and they asked him about who he thought the GOAT was, and he had a very interesting answer. He said LeBron James is the GOAT, but his GOAT was Paul George, in which I threw my phone across the room. So, Sid, what is your take on Paul George being a GOAT? Now, I don't want to say this in a disrespectful way to Paul George. Paul George is a very good basketball player, one of the better players of this generation. But by GOAT standards, it's hard to argue that he is mid by the GOAT standard, right? Like a standard that I don't even come close to. I'm okay with that. You know, if somebody told me, like, Hawk, man, you the GOAT to me, I'm like, number one, you're cap. And if you're not cap, like, I don't feel good about your actual ability. So my question around Brandon Miller is there anything we can take from that statement that we should be, like, maybe looking out for in his own game or lack thereof in certain areas, Sydney? Or am I tripping?
Well, it's interesting because he's saying he's a GOAT, but, like, didn't Paul George say that he was, like, not the guy, like, not that long ago?
He was like, I don't want to be the guy.
I don't want to be, and usually – you know, like, the GOATs aren't saying that. Like,
nah.
They're the guy. Everybody thinks they're the guy. But I can, like, I will say, I understand somebody said, I'm number two. I'm cool with them. I can see people, like, patenting their game after somebody and, like, looking up to somebody. Like, that might be what he did. He watched him a lot and mirrored his game, tried to do the things that he did. So, like, I get that. You look up to the person, but I just think the verbiage probably has to be different. Like, it's your personal GOAT, but probably nobody is, like, picking, you know, PG for a GOAT.
Right, yeah.
If you look at championships, a lot of people, they measure it differently, though. Like, do you look at people got to win rings to you, or if they're just an individual talent? Like,
I think for me, if you're the greatest of all times, or you're even calling somebody the greatest of all times, you have to say either you're the GOAT or you're the GOAT at this thing. Right now, someone said, like, yo, Hawk, you're the GOAT route runner. I would be like, you're not wrong, because I was like that, right? Like, I don't care who, what accolades, ain't nobody getting out them breaks like I am, Sid. You know what I'm saying? But you gotta be very specific. So if Paul George is your GOAT, and it's like, yo, for me, the greatest of all times is Paul George, like, that's a wild statement. Like, that's like, yo, if yo, I respect everything that Jay-Z has done, but for me, to me, the greatest of all times is Jaquan. Like, you're going to look at me like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody in the club getting tipsy. It's going to be, you're going to judge me. You're not going to judge Jaquan. You're going to be like, yo, something is wrong with you. So for Brandon Miller, that's my question, because now you're going to be, you're about to be the guy. They want you to be the guy where you're at. Like, so if you're attaining to be the level of Paul George, for some people, that's just not high enough. You know what I mean? That's my problem with his statement.
I feel you. It's a mindset thing. Now they got to worry about his mental state.
Exactly. Now we got to have you talking to the team psychiatrist, because we got to make sure you can pull through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's trying to make it to the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's like, you got to come on, man. I need you to think higher of yourself. And again, Paul George is an incredible player. And I honestly think Paul George will leave. He'll retire with a ring. I think he'll get in the right situation. But what Paul George, he himself, he does not want to be the guy, right? Like, it's like, it's just, that's not as comfortable for him. And that's okay. He's an incredible player. So it was just an interesting take is all I'm saying there.
Say the least.
More interesting takes. Kobe Bufkin, which is, I think, my favorite name in NBA draft. That's a good one, right? Am I wrong and that's it?
It is a good one.
That's it. That's a great one. Well, he got drafted by Atlanta, and they asked him, like, you know, what his thoughts were, and he made a lot of noise because of his first public comments was, he said, I noticed a lot of traffic. I'm not looking forward to the traffic and the humidity and the roaches. And that is an interesting way to describe the city that you're now calling home, a city that is going to be rooting for you. I know a lot of Atlanta Hawks fans, and they weren't excited about it. So he's getting a lot of flack for that. Should he be?
Yeah, because it's just like, you know that they're going to ask about the city. Have something
But aren't we like shying kids away from being honest? If that's what he worries about, if he's a pessimistic person, I'm a little pessimistic. I'm a glass half empty type of dude. I ain't gonna lie to you. I see the problems before I see the good things and everything, right? And so I got a cousin that live in Atlanta. He got roaches. So I can't even like be mad. I can't be mad at Bufkin because he's telling the truth.
One, why did you even mention your cousin's situation? A lot of people can have roaches in a lot of places. And there were just other things you could talk about. All right, just like stick to the traffic. It was just mad random. I like it. I like it. It was weird. I like weird answers though.
What if he said, I'm looking forward to the strip clubs? What would that would we then be like, would it still be an issue? Or would it be like, oh no, now you're still being too honest, man. Just be like, I'm looking to meet my teammates and my coaches and winning a championship. Is that what you want, Sid?
That's not what I want. That's usually what they give, but this is more interesting. This is more fun. Maybe he's got a personality. Like, maybe he's like, let me get his answer.
Yeah. I know they talk about this. He probably follows you on social media and he said, what would Sid Colson say? Because that is a very Sid Colson type of answer.
Probably follows you.
All right, since we're on the NBA draft, let's keep it going. Scoot Henderson, he gets drafted by the Portland Trail Blazers, and he basically makes his public plea to have Dame stay. We talked a lot about Dame Lillard. You like to call him Dame Dash sometimes. We talked a lot about Dame Lillard and whether he's going to stay in Portland or not. And Scoot is like, yo, he thinks their dynamic duo could put the franchise over the top. But then he goes and gets the number 00. Now, I feel
very
like
passive aggressive.
It feels a little passive aggressive. But what is your reaction to Scoot getting number 00 when Dame Lillard clearly wears number 0? Is it like, give me your thoughts? Like, what do you feel?
It sounds like, yeah, man, I'm excited to play with him. Love his game. We could be good together. But at the same time, I'll help him pack if he got a problem. Help his family pack. He can get up out of here. Like, it was like in the same breath, you said both things. So it's almost like you don't care about him staying.
Yeah, it's like, because it's basically the same number, right? Like, there's not going to be two stars on a team, one number 0 and number 00.
Right.
That's a weird thing. Like, how do you imagine going into the Portland Trail Blazers team shop and they're selling two jerseys and there's 00 and then there's 0 and like those are the top.
Like, he's trying to big dog Dame. Like, I got 00 big balls. You got one testicle.
Or
you look at it like, okay, we got 00 and then Dame wears 0, you turn that's a snowman. It could be that Dame is going to be out of Portland because it's too cold. He's going to be moving to a city that's hot.
See, these are the conversations that basketball Illuminati is scared to have.
That's what I'm saying. They're not talking about
it. Nobody's talking about this. And they're trying to silence you. Only on Journeyman you get these real takes. That's real. That's a fact. So you agree with me that Scoot probably doesn't want Dame really in Portland. He wants that spot. He came for the spot. He says all the right things in public, but then, you know, he does moves like that. I wonder what Dame was going through Dame's mind.
If Dame leaves, I bet it's going to be a diss track, too.
You don't want no beef with – Scoot don't want no rap beef with Dame.
Yeah. But I want it. We want it.
We want it. The people want it for sure. Actually, I don't. I actually hate when athletes rap. I'm going to be honest with you. Dame can really rap, but that's one out of maybe 200 that rap. So you're looking at a 0.50 percentage of good bars every time. And that is a fact. Do you know any good athlete rappers besides Dame? Name them. Like real rappers that you're like, yo, I play their music and I enjoy it.
I know there's somebody else.
Yeah, you keep thinking about it. My problem with athlete rappers is that, yes, rappers have chains. Yes, rappers boast money. And athletes also have those things. But that does not mean that you can actually rap or flow. Wait.
Iman didn't Shump rap.
Shump can rap. Shump can spit. Shump can spit. Iman can rap. I'll leave it at that. He can rap. That's true. So that's two. Like Shaq went platinum. Shaq can't rap. Shaq can't rap, bro. Carl is in the studio saying Shaq can rap. Like,
I'm like, who are you looking at that's disagreeing?
And you're shocked. You're shocked that somebody that I'm looking at off screen is disagreeing. And it's Carl. Shaq is not nice. Shaq is a nice guy. Shaq keep buying Home Depots every time he sees a baddie go viral on Instagram. Shaq cannot rap, though. DJ, oh my gosh, the Diesel. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's me. Maybe I got a high standard for hip-hop that other people meet at the Shaq level. What about Iverson? Have you seen Iverson rap, Carl?
Yeah, no.
Iverson's trash. Okay. All right, we agree there.
Master P
is not an athlete.
He was an NBA for
a week.
He still got there though.
That was a make a rapper program. Oh, I don't know what that was.
J. Cole.
All right. We need to this is actually helping my case.
Okay, it's getting out of hand.
Because it's getting out of hand. Because J. Cole, I love J. Cole. J. Cole is a phenomenal hip-hop artist. Can we be honest on Journeyman and say that J. Cole cannot hoop? I want you to say it. I want you to say it out of your mouth that J. Cole should not have been playing professional basketball.
Who are you trying to get me to say something?
Because I want you to be honest. I'm being honest. It's uncomfortable for me, too. I don't want J. Cole to hear this and be like, oh, that's the podcast that talked about my basketball. But you can't tell me when you looked at those highlights from the Basketball Africa League, you was like, oh man, J. Cole is out there. He's a bucket.
I'm about to log off of this.
Okay. All right. See, now they put me out on the island, right? Now it's just because people want to be the best at everything, it's my fault. Now I'm the person that talks
too much. I'm the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy. All right. Well, we'll talk more basketball when we come back in a minute. So I think a topic is a gift that keeps on giving, Sid, is Kevin Durant. One of the best players in the history of the league, one of the most skilled players ever. Like, it does not matter what era you put him in, what team he is on. It is hard to find anybody who is more skilled at the game of basketball than Kevin Durant. At his size, his fluidity as an athlete, his shooting ability, his ability to dribble, his understanding, his basketball IQ. Like, literally, you cannot game plan for someone with that kind of ability. But the thing that like strikes me is that for whatever reason, my dog cares so much about what people say, specifically on Elon's platform. There was a Twitter Spaces going on called KD isn't top five, where they were arguing that Kevin Durant is not a top five player in the NBA. So KD, I guess, was scrolling on his Twitter, on his tweets, which he has a tendency to do sometimes, like we all do every once in a while. And instead of doing what I would think someone like KD does, which is look at it and then scroll past, KD joins the Twitter Spaces and he starts making his case of why he is top five with a bunch of people who don't know basketball nearly as much as KD. And that's always his point. Like, why do you guys have an opinion that isn't as knowledgeable as mine? Why do you think that it deserves to be said out loud, right? And again, I understand that. But at some point, I'm like, KD, man, you got to just not care. You know, like, what's that quote they always put, like, over a lion on Instagram when somebody, you know, is talking stuff and then you want to show somebody that you're just so unbothered? What is it? The lion don't care about the opinions of sheep. Lions don't. You know, the corny quotes we all put up on our Instagram stories when our, like, our fake friend makes us mad in a group chat or something, and you got to make it seem like you don't care, but you want him to also kind of see it type of thing. That's KD, I feel like, a little bit. And you as a professional basketball player, Sid, what is your opinion on KD's inability to not give a damn what people say on Twitter?
It's like, I'm of the same, like, I'm having the same opinion as you, that it's wild to, like, see somebody talking. I get, even if he, like, stumbled upon it and was just maybe in there listening on one of his burners, but to actually get into that spaces and become a speaker on there is wild. Because imagine if he was just doing that, like, all day. Every day of his life, just always, like, interrupting people wherever they are. Like, you're just with your friends at the movies talking about KD, and all of a sudden he appears. And he's, like, giving his feedback, or, like, just in the comforts of your home, and then he's outside your window, like, scary type shit.
Just walks out the pantry. It was like, you're not even thinking about offensive efficiency. See, that's where you're wrong. See, you talk about protecting the rim and everything around the rim. Everybody,
add it to the skits. Add it to the skits.
Oh my gosh, please add that to the skits, because these things just they record themselves. That's a million view skit.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy to hop in their spaces. I don't care how wrong they are. It's wild to hop in there.
Yes. Okay. So we're on the same page. And I want people at home to understand that too. Like, it's not, because I think from a fan's perspective, they're like, yo, this is wild that one of the best basketball players ever continues to, you know, defend himself to randos. It's crazy for professional athletes too. And maybe, I don't know, this could be a situation like we talked about with the parade, or like the White House. Maybe I don't understand the hoopla around the White House because I never come in close to the White House. I'm not getting that invite. I have no chance to being up in there. They probably do have me on a ban list for a lot of reasons. So maybe this is a situation where we don't understand what it's like to be KD. But from our perspective, maybe we're closer to the fan than we are to being KD. To like, you got to just let this one ride, man. At some point, you got to just be okay. And also, Twitter's not even hot like that no more. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm a Twitter person. I've been on Twitter since early 09. Like, I made a lot of my hay on Twitter. Like, people, I'm on this show now. If there was no Twitter, I would not be hosting this show at the moment. So I want everybody to understand how invested into the platform I have been. And even nowadays, in the Elon era of Twitter, it ain't hitting like it used to be. So for KD to still be on that, they need to give my man equity or something, because, like, this is, Twitter needs this. They need KD jumping into Twitter spaces that are named about himself.
Yeah, to stay afloat and stay relevant. No,
yes.
That's facts.
Yes. Speaking of Twitter, our guy Marcus Smart was traded to the Memphis Grizzlies that completed the Porzingis trade to get him to Boston, and which is all good. That's basketball and all the things. I think the weird thing was, like, less than a half a day earlier, they had, like, a Marcus Smart hype video from the Boston Celtics Twitter account, and everyone thought it was weird that they were hyping him up and then only to trade him a couple of hours later. Does that stoke anything in you? Is that like, do you think that was just like really, really weird timing? Do you think it was just like cruel? Someone you love, like, they're, you know, Boston fans love Marcus Smart. Was it like a kind of, hey, let's show him love before we ship him up out of here? Or what do you think it is?
It was like the Scoot Dame situation. Like, yeah.
Frenemies type stuff.
Yeah. And then do some weird backhanded stuff after. Like, very scary, very shady. But the Celtics organization, I'll never trust them again after how they did me along, after how they handled that situation. I'll never have anything good.
What
to
was
say
your biggest issue with how they handled me along?
She said she didn't even receive a call, a text, anything from anyone. No correspondence to me along. Love Jones, me along.
Love Jones, me along.
Soul food, me along.
Couldn't keep it at home. Thought I needed a me along.
I'll never have a good thing to say about it.
I'm with you.
This didn't shock me. I guess what I'm saying is this didn't shock me.
You know, when someone shows you who they are, Sid, believe them. That's also a good Instagram stories subliminal that a lot of people use on a very consistent basis. No, I agree, man. And also, I would take it a step further. I would say that the Celtics did this on purpose, and I'll tell you why. This is a tactic I use often. Okay, I remember when I was, I signed with the Cleveland Browns in an offseason. I was a restricted free agent. Now, what that means is they offered me a term sheet, and I could sign it, but my old team, the Cincinnati Bengals, had a chance to match it, right? And so the Browns offered me a term sheet. I'm like, hey, I'm going to sign it. Basically, the Bengals came out and said they were going to match it, and so I called the Browns back, and I'm like, yo, man, I really appreciate it, dude. I appreciate your interest in me. You know, it's good, but, you know, the Bengals, they really want me, which is dope. You know, it's good to be wanted. But I was gassing that up so I could get them to come make a bigger offer. Yeah. And it worked, right? So it's like you always want to show. So I think what the Celtics were trying to do is they were like, woo, Marcus Smart, boo, we so happy we have him type thing, right? Like, and they want to try to boost his value a little bit to get you to pull the trigger on the deal. I also did that in media when I signed with NFL Network. After I left ESPN, and we were actually having conversations back and forth, and they were like, well, you know, my agent had my number, and I was like, yo, I'm good to stay. And so I think I put up like an Instagram post of a show I just did with ESPN. I'm like, oh, I love it here. in the next 10 hours, the new deal was done. So I think this was just a good old fashioned swindle, Sid. That's all that was. A good old business swindle. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't even think about it like that.
We're so happy with this player. Like, if we never get rid of him, we're good, right? That's, of course, within half a day, my man was on his way to Memphis.
I still don't trust him.
Yeah, you can't trust him, man. Speaking of not trusting, Gilbert Arenas, who has the Gil podcast, No Chill Gil, which he is absolutely no chill. He is the definition of no chill. He essentially came out and said he thought as a player he was better than Kobe. Which is, again, a wild take no matter what the situation is. But there's so many players, and I don't know if it is, you have on one hand guys like Brandon Miller being like, I hope to be as good as Paul George one day, right? Which is, again, that's not a bad thing when you're in high school. The moment you get drafted, you got to understand, like, this is now a different test. You can't come out and be like that. And then you got players like my man Gil saying, like, yo, I was better than Kobe. Or my man Kat saying, when I retire, people are going to say I changed the game. And again, I'm a casual basketball fan. I don't know if these things are true. So I have to come to you, Sid, and say, is Gilbert Arenas better than Kobe Bryant? And did Kat change the game of basketball forever?
Gilbert was nice, though. He was
dumb nice. Dumb nice. But was he better than Kobe? I didn't ask you if he was nice.
I wouldn't have said, but when you got guys at that level, I will say people, like, you got to have a mindset that you were, even as ridiculous as it might be, if you were really, really nice, and if you went up against Kobe, and you feel like you gave Kobe work, like, or whatever, gave the team work, people don't automatically just have to bow down to people just because everybody else feels that they were the shit. They're like, well, shit, I'm the shit too.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not mad at it, but Carl Anthony Towns, I don't know what he meant. I don't know what he meant by that.
So wait a minute. Let me back this up. And you know what? You changed my perspective on the Gil thing. You're right. This is a peer. This is someone he played against. He battled with. He got tapes to say, like, yo, I was holding my own. I think I was better, right? And he thought that in the moment, and he thinks it now. I'm good with that. And you said players should be confident. They should have that. And I agree. Athletes, there has to be that kind of certain oomph to you to be like, yo, I'm ready to take it all on. You got to have that irrational confidence. And then in that same breath, you say, but Kyrie Anthony Towns, shut your ass up. Because there has to be a line somewhere. Is that an accurate assessment?
Because now we just saying anything.
Because now it's just me. Now we just want clicks, and that's a whole different ball game that we're not into, right?
I don't get it. I don't know. Maybe he means who he's dating. Like, maybe I don't know.
He changed the game.
I don't know what his roster has been.
Yeah. Maybe we need more statistics. Maybe it's somewhere that we're not talking about. He says he's the best shooting big man in the history of the NBA.
He said that.
Yeah, he said that. Maybe the producers can give me some information that I don't know, but I've never considered him that way.
They said technically he is the best three-point shooting big man.
Ever. Now, okay, so is that wrong for him to make that assertion, to be like, yo, he changed the game? Because he was the best at shooting the three for a big man.
But I don't think that it's changed the game. I'm not sure how it has changed the game. You can be a very good three-point shooter, but it doesn't mean that you've now revolutionized basketball or done something different. Like, but like what Steph Curry did, Curry has done with his shooting, that changed the game, because you saw the change in, like, high school players, like middle, like where people pull up from in college. Like, people weren't doing stuff like that. They weren't working on those shots. But big men just stepping out to shoot a three, that hasn't changed the game.
Right.
You just have a high shooting percentage.
Yeah. You started to play your game because Steph Curry changed the game, and the trickle down was now going to shoot threes.
Yeah. Like, if he shot, let's say he shot 38% from the three this year. Okay. If Dirk or, like, Kevin Love, one of them, if they shot 36, you didn't change the game. You just shot a better percentage.
I like that. That is spot on. Here's an accolade for you of mine, Sid, because I think I have to school you sometimes of who I am as an athlete too. When I retired from the NFL, I was the leading all-time receiver of any receiver under 5'8 in NFL history. Yeah, that's true. Now, there wasn't very many. That is the other part of that. That is not said. But I did not change the game, right? I just had a lot for a little guy, right? Is that more? All right. Speaking of NFL, we got some NFL talk when we get back.
Yes, y'all, and we don't stop.
All right, let's get into some NFL news. Sid, I know you're a big NFL fan. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Of course. The Buffalo Bills, they got some trouble in paradise. Their leading receiver, Stephon Diggs, and their quarterback, Josh Allen, seem to have a little rift going on. They don't seem to be getting along. Now, typically in the NFL, this is usually about money. One player wants to get paid, the other player has already gotten paid, and there's just a little bit of, hey, you got your money, stay off my back until I get mine type of thing. But this doesn't seem to be the case here, and that's disheartening for a lot of NFL fans because the Buffalo Bills have a really good team specifically because these two have been such a dynamic and incredible duo, but now there's trouble in paradise. And in my experience, when there's trouble in paradise that way, you know, the inevitable is probably going to happen. There's going to be a breakup. There's going to be issues. There's been a lot of issues and news and Josh Allen confirming that him and Stephon Diggs have been having trouble. Stephon Diggs is in Paris for Fashion Week. He's living his rock star lifestyle. And it seems, again, there's just a differing opinion of priorities between the two, and they can't get on the same page. So yeah. My question to you is, A, have you, like, legitimately seen where two of your teammates have had, like, two of the, I would say, leading ability teammates of yours have had rifts or a loss in chemistry and where that's resulted in anything positive happening with the team?
Mm-mm.
No.
Never positive outcome. In the situations wouldn't even be that bad for real, but pride, like, wouldn't let people move, like, one person move on from it, or somebody thought they were right. And, yeah, it just wouldn't work out. Didn't work out. Like, I think there's also the element a lot of the times, like, the things that as stereotypical as it might be, there, like, women will hold on to stuff longer sometimes. And you'll think that people moved on, but then you see little stuff. It's like, ah, no, you really didn't. Mm. And maybe men are like that, too, but I know.
They are.
Like,
no, I was going to say, this is why I love the dynamic we have here on Journeyman, because people do say that. And I can promise you everything you're saying is spot on, even on the men's side of sports. Probably I would say more, but again, that's probably from my kind of shaded view of that. I'm always in men's locker rooms and I can see those rifts happening. Right.
Yeah. So you feel like men will look like they got over something, but then you also see petty stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's typically those personalities. Like, what happens is, and Stephon Diggs is an incredible receiver. He's one of my favorite receivers in the league. He's been one of the top receivers in the NFL. But what happens is, even in success, and this is across any industry, any profession, any, you know, gender or whatever, it's whenever there's success, there has to be someone who gets credit for that success.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
Even in that, in this earlier stage where when Josh Allen first started to come into his own, it was when Stephon Diggs became his wide receiver. And it was like, oh, man, Stephon Diggs has really ignited the ability of Josh Allen. Well, now Josh Allen is the cover of Madden. He's doing all these things, and now they're successful. And now that he's gotten his money and he's viewed as a top quarterback, it's less about, like, people giving the credit to Stephon Diggs. And I don't know if that is the, you know, the foundation of the rift. But I, in my opinion, I feel like that's probably has something to do with the contention between the two of them, right? It's like, because they're both successful. Like, yeah. They're both statistically two of the best. Everyone would consider them the best at their position. They're winning. They haven't won a Super Bowl, but they've come really close. So it's like, even with the success and the way that you guys have turned around a franchise, there has to be something that is ego-driven or pride involved, because the other stuff doesn't track or make sense. It'd be different if Stephon Diggs didn't have a great statistical season, or Josh Allen wasn't considered a top quarterback, and they were like, oh, you're blocking us from our greatness. They're both great. So that, I think that's why the rest of the fans and us are trying to question of, like, well, what's really going on? Like, is there something else that we don't know about? Is this a situation where there's some personal drama that maybe we're not privy to? Otherwise, it probably is pride and ego.
So was Josh Allen, like, as talked about or as big before Stephon Diggs became his receiver?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. But then, you know,
Stephon Diggs, as talked about before he went to that team.
Yeah, he was. He was pretty good where he was at before. But the thing about it is, like, you know, this is sports though. These are the conversation that you have because you don't know what raindrop is going to start the flood. When Stephon Diggs came, he came at the time when, you know, really good quarterbacks typically ascend to be really good quarterbacks. And even if Stephon Diggs left, Stephon Diggs was good everywhere he went. Josh Allen was pretty good before Stephon Diggs got there. But as you know, once you taste success, once you have experience, once you know how, if Stephon Diggs leaves, Josh Allen still will be really, really good. And Stephon Diggs will go somewhere and be really, really good. And it still doesn't say of, you know, who made who. And it might not be as simple as that. Right. But it's.
I would like to see, because I mean, in football, too, y'all have so many other pieces. Like, people got to block well.
Exactly.
For a quarterback to be good, they need somebody that can catch or run routes well. They need you. They need.
They need under 5'8 receivers that are changing the game, too. That's a big big part of it. Right. So, you know.
But if Stephon Diggs, went somewhere else and thrived and Josh Allen lost him. And still had the same team otherwise. Let's say all the other pieces really remain the same, but Stephon Diggs left. Then, I mean, you could make the case then that Stephon Diggs did
Yeah, you can. It's very similar to the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick thing. They had so much success. And then when they split, Tom Brady went on to have more success. And Bill Belichick has struggled. Now, is that to say it was all Tom? I don't know. Because, you know, someone had to say, you know, I see something in this Tom Brady guy. Right. And that was Bill that did that. So I don't know. It's a very nuanced thing. One quarterback that probably nobody questions whether he's great or not is Pat Mahomes. And Mahomes has had a beef going with, of all places, Cincinnati, who I used to play there. It's very interesting to see a Kansas City versus Cincinnati beef, but it is brewing.
Why?
Because they have a quarterback named Joe Burrow. He's very, very good. And they asked Joe, hey, who is the best quarterback in the league? And he said Pat Mahomes until somebody knocks him off. Now, these two teams have battled in AFC championships the last couple of years, and they're, like, for most people's account, like, probably the top two in the AFC, maybe even in the NFL. And then they asked Joe Burrow's number one receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, who he, you know, what was his thoughts around Joe Burrow saying Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league, and he said, Pat who? So he kind of leaned in. Ja'Marr Chase, he didn't care. He was like, Pat who? And then I had Travis Kelce up in a tizzy, and, you know, I think Pat Mahomes might have got his Super Bowl ring and said something back, and he said, like, that's who with his two Super Bowl rings on. So it's a little beef going back and forth here, which I think
it's funny when people are, like, perceived as, like, kind of corny, but then they want to, like, have beef because people don't even take even if they're right, people are like.
Like, why are you beefing, bro? Chill. So, it's just an interesting beef going on, like, across team, but that competition is important. But it does seem a little watered down compared to, like, some of the – that's why I like the NBA – because all their off the court stuff is, like, a lot more spicier than NFL off the court, off the field stuff. It's just like, I feel like we'd be trying too hard and it just don't hit the same way, to be honest.
It's also so hard to me for y'all to, like, to talk trash in football or, like, make comparisons because your offense goes against, like, y'all aren't battling. Like, in basketball, we got 10 people on the court. It's 5-on-5.
Uh-huh.
We go play offense against you and then you got to defend us.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can't really talk trash to the other offensive group because
we're not really there. We're not really playing
against
one
another. So how you gonna say with quarterback, like, well, if I was going against you, I would do this, but it's like, yeah, but you'll never defend me. It doesn't hit the same.
Right. And I completely agree. But there's pros and cons to each side because, to your point, like, we can't really talk trash and, like, have, like, that kind of drama that basketball has because y'all are playing against each other and you got to defend me and I got to, you know, vice versa. Right. But then, like, when I see, like, the quote-unquote tough guys in the NBA, NFL players feel like that's corny because in the NFL, it's like whenever there's beef, like, we can physically handle this. We're going to get on the field and we're going to see who the winner is and who's the tougher person. And so I always wonder, like, well, how do basketball players get the tough person mantra? Like, how does it work if you don't see – if you don't fight, like, we fight each other in locker rooms, even within a team. Like, we go in a locker room and we fist fight, and it's okay. Or we on the field, we fist fight each other. Like, all problems get handled immediately in football. It's my favorite thing about it. Like, I don't like you, you don't like me, cool, let's get physical. And then at the end, it was like, oh, you was way stronger than me, man, my nose hurt. You know what I'm saying? You just let it, you move on to the next thing. Basketball, I don't feel like it's like that as much, right?
Yeah, you're right. It's like the tough guy image. People are like, bro, nobody's taking that seriously.
Yeah. Pros and cons to everything. All right, my last point before we get out of here on this episode of Journeyman. It's the time we retire the gritty. Is the gritty done?
If you have to ask.
Yeah, probably. Like, I'm always scared, like, because, you know, I don't. The thing about getting old is you don't know you're getting old. You think you still hip. You don't know, like, your timelines are also old because you think what you're looking at is the hip thing until, like, a young person tells you, like, yo, what are you doing? So I can tell you right now, I was dabbing for way too long. I was I was also hitting the hitting them folks. I still think that that's like
okay, no. Some of them are classic and timeless.
So that's an old person thing to say. Like, that's your gray you're hairs good. Talking because you think the folk hitting them folks is still good.
It's good. I'm telling you, Asia is younger than me and she be doing it. Like, our rookies still be doing it. Like, you're good.
Okay.
You're
good with them. So I can still hit them folks. All right. So I feel like the gritty. I've seen there was a video of a tight end, Mike Gesicki, probably the least hit person in all the NFL. And he hits the gritty all the time. So much so, I've seen probably 5 to 6 different videos over the course of a year and a half of him doing the gritty. And I think that was the moment I was like, yo, this is dead. But it's also...
If he created it, it's okay.
No, he did not create it. And it like was popular. It was made popular by another receiver, Justin Jefferson. And that is his signature dance. So if you're like, signature dance is something that's out of style, what do you do next? Like, how do you keep going? Like, if you're his marketing rep, do you be like, yo, I know this is your thing, we got to retire it? Or yeah. Does he just kind of keep doing it and being like, do you want to be the person still hitting the dab at the wrong time?
It's a conversation. It's a tough one, but mm-hmm. it has to be had. Yeah. I think you either self-retire the dance or retire from the sport.
That's the ultimatum. You either retire this dance or I quit. Yeah, that's
those,
everything must come to an end, Sid, is basically what you're saying. And so, just like that, this podcast must come to an end. That's it for this episode of Journeyman. Shout out to Sid Colson for joining us. And make sure you guys journey back next week. And until then, drop down and get your eagle on.